When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Back to the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, the Guardians jumped all over new White Sox top prospect Drew Thorpe. Of course, Thorpe, was traded twice this offseason, once for in a package for Juan Soto and once in a package for Dylan Cease. That's how he ended up in Chicago. And his introduction to competition in the American League Central was a rather rude greeting from the Guardians hitters in the first couple of innings over at Glendale. What'd you think of the way that the Guardians hitters last night in an 8-5 win treated Drew Thorpe? And is this a sign of things to come maybe down the line as Thorpe makes his way through the White Sox minor league system?
Yeah, Joe, that was a great way to start. A big first inning for Cleveland. What, six straight hits? DeLotter and Arias go hit consecutive home runs, to cap a six-run inning. Then, Rocchio hits a leadoff home run in the second, and basically, they don't score again, but still it was a great opening, a great way to start. And like you said, Thorpe probably is not going to forget that one for a while.
No, and hey, this is a guy who the White Sox traded for. He was the one of the key pieces in that Dylan Cease trade, and he's their number three overall prospect. So this is going to be a guy who Cleveland's going to see when they play Chicago, for the next couple of years, ostensibly. But this is a nice little first message. Hey, welcome to the AL Central. This is a team you're going to face a lot, and we've got your number now.
Yeah, and boy, what, six straight hits. Well, they go double, single, double, single, three-run homer, solo home run. So, yeah, they made an impression quickly on Thorpe.
And, he did use the reentry rule. He came back and he still gave up another run after that. So, it wasn't like they just had one outburst. They just kept it going, kept pouring it on. So, interesting, way to greet a newcomer to the division. But of course this doesn't count. And, we could get to, major league regular season games and the guy could be lights out. Who knows? The one thing that, that little outburst did, it did no favors to the guys making decisions on position battles and who's staying around in camp, because all the guys who were fighting for jobs hit home runs at the same time. Chase DeLauder hit one out back to back with Gabriel Arias. And then the next inning, Brian Rocchio hits one. Rocchio and Arias obviously locked in a battle at shortstop, still a coin flip there by anybody's estimation.
Yeah, Joe. I mean, it's hard to make a decision sometimes in spring training, they both decide to have a big game on the same day. So what is that? That's a wash, right? Mm-hmm. With Arias and Rocchio. Arias, has been battling that virus that's been going around the clubhouse. He's only hitting 160 this spring. Rocchio's come on a little. He's hitting 242. Arias has eight strikeouts in 25 at bats, so he's still swinging and missing a lot, which we saw last season. But Stephen Vogt said an interesting thing a couple days ago that spring training stats are not the only prerequisite of deciding who wins or loses a position. There's a lot more that goes into it: the track record, how a player is performing in practice, the changes he's made in the off season, how he's sticking to those changes, you know, especially, you know, when it comes to offensively at the plate. So, you know, a lot of it, it's just not batting average, home runs, and RBIs. There's a lot more that goes into it. And in the case of the shortstop position, I think the Guardians are lucky that a lot more goes into it, because it's hard to tell who's the better shortstop right now.
Right. Yeah. What you say, you know, sometimes with these position battles during spring training, you get to the end of spring training and nobody has won the battle. Nobody has stepped forward and asserted themselves. So you have to make a decision based on that. All right, but I'm going to sit here, you know, obviously a couple weeks ago before camp started, I had predicted that, you know, the starting lineup would be, you know, Brian Rocchio would win the job. I thought coming off of his hot winter ball in Venezuela, I thought he had the inside edge there. And so I'm going to advocate for him right now, just based on, I'm going to do exactly the opposite of what you said and just look at the stats and say, you know, we're coming down to the end of spring training. On March 10th, Rocchio was batting 100. He was slugging 100. He took an 0-for-2 against Cincinnati in a game on March 10th. Since then, in four games, he's got six hits over four games, including a double, or actually three doubles and a home run. You know, he's got a slugging percentage up to .424, batting .242, like you said. So he's gotten hot basically over the last week and a half. Basically, you know, in that time that Arias had gotten sick and there was sort of an opening and a window and an opportunity, he said, hey, I better get on my horse. And he has over the last, you know, week or so.
Yeah, you know, he's performed well. I think maybe Joe, you know, I was wondering if he was just a little tired coming into camp after playing winter ball. I mean, he played for a long time, too. Usually, you know, you don't play that long winter ball. You play 2, 3, 4 weeks, and then you get out of there. But, you know, he played right through the championship for the Venezuelan winter ball team he was playing with. So, you know, that may have affected him early in camp. You know, just for argument's sake, I'm gonna say they stick with Arias just because of the experience he gained last year. But, you know, we still haven't seen this guy hit like we want him to hit, you know. Two or three springs ago, him and Freeman, you know, they were hitting close to 400, and they were hitting 400, you know, throughout the whole spring. But, you know, something has changed with this guy. I don't know if he's, you know, feeling a little pressure, you know, with the competition, but he doesn't look like the same guy.
Yeah, it's been a big difference the last, basically the last two spring trainings with Arias, but we'll see how he projects. I'm sure you're right. I'm sure he's going to be named the starting shortstop. I think Rocchio is going to have to go down to AAA to open the season, but I don't expect Rocchio to stay at AAA for very long this year, as that goes. All right. Speaking of going down to AAA, the big news yesterday was that Kyle Manzardo, the number two prospect in the organization, sent down to minor league camp. Not a huge surprise, and really we sort of predicted it and said it was coming. But Manzardo sent down to AAA. He'll get the opportunity to play every day there and get himself built up and heated up, and then, you know, maybe in a couple of weeks, maybe in a couple of months, maybe before that. If the call is made, he'll be on the fast track back to the major league squad. You wrote a column about just how difficult it is for a guy in Manzardo's position, or how difficult it has been over the last decade plus for a guy in Manzardo's position. And we've seen plenty of them. You know, even if they're having a great spring training, rookies usually don't tend to make the club out of Arizona as they eventually head back to Cleveland in the cold days of early spring. Just what are your thoughts on Manzardo and the position that he's in right now? And do you think he'll, you know, make the most of it and get himself back to Cleveland sooner rather than later?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think we've got to remember that Manzardo really isn't even isn't even on the 40-man roster right now. So, you know, that's a big step when a player gets put on the 40-man. That usually means, you know, he's ready for the big leagues. So it would have been a big, you know, it would have been a taking a big leap for Manzardo to make the club out of spring training this year. But, you know, he obviously made a great impression. He'll go down to AAA. I think he'll, you know, he'll work his way back. I wouldn't be surprised if we see him at some point this season in Cleveland. But, you know, Joe, the thing that was interesting to me, you know, Terry Francona would kind of brainwash the media saying, you know, that April is the cruelest month for young hitters, April and May, you know, it's tough for a young guy to come up in Cleveland and battle the elements. It's always, it's cold, it's wet. You know, you can't feel the bat in your hands. And we kind of bought into that. And I always thought maybe Tito was pushing that philosophy, but Tito's gone and they're still pushing that philosophy. but I, you know, I think some, you know, there were some other, you know, there were some other elements at work here. You know, for one, you know, Davison De Los Santos, a Rule 5 guy, was competing with Manzardo for playing time at first base and DH. You know, they've got to make a decision on De Los Santos. You know, does he stay on the big league roster, or do they send him back to Arizona? You know, they could send Manzardo down without even using an option because he's not on a 40-man.
Right.
So, you know, that made, you know, from a business sense, you know, that made sense. That also, you know, you want to see this. They need power on this team. The reason they selected De Los Santos was he hit 20 home runs at Double A for Arizona last year. So they want to see if that power plays in the big leagues, because, you know, over the last two or three years, they've let a lot of power go in some misfortunate trades. So I think, you know, that all played into it more so than Manzardo not being able to hit in the cold, because like you and me and Joe were talking, he's from Idaho. I mean, it snows all the time in Idaho.
Yeah, the guy, you know, went to practice in a stocking cap and flannel. I mean, this is if anybody on this club is built for springs in Northeast Ohio, it's Kyle Manzardo. So, you know, Tito's old argument about how cruel the spring is and how cold it is and all that kind of flies out the window. But like you said, we were talking, Tito's not there anymore. It's no longer Tito making that call. It's either Antonetti and Chernoff, you know, just thinking, you know, hey, what would Tito do in this situation? Or it's been them all along, and they've been the ones pulling the strings on this. And Tito is just really good at you know, obfuscation, I guess, is the best word to describe it. And you know, we all know that Tito was pretty good at obfuscating things. So, you know, maybe it's been the organizational philosophy that, hey, you know, there's the service time manipulation. I mean, we can talk about that, but I don't think that they're going to have Manzardo down there long enough to sort of make a difference in that service time manipulation. I think he comes back. I think we definitely see him before the end of May, don't you?
I think there's a chance, you know, that's a big jump, but I think there's a chance, you know, and yet, like you were saying, you know, it's always been Chernoff and Antonetti. They were the men behind the curtain, like in The Wizard of Oz, you know, they were pulling the handles here. So I'm not sure if that's true, but that's a good image. I like that image.
Yeah. It's going to be even more difficult and harder to explain to, you know, the fans on Twitter and you know, everybody who's going to react in probably within the next 48 hours when they send out Chase DeLauder, who's having a tremendous spring, hits another home run. He's got what, three plus the one that he hit in the spring breakout game. He's doing everything, you know, that a rookie outfielder could possibly do to make the club. I just, you know, I think that again, he's in a situation where Estevan Florial is on the roster and, you know, has to make the club. Otherwise you have to expose him to waivers. And I don't think they want to do that. And you know, DeLauder's again, not on the 40-man roster. They don't even have to waste an option on him to send him out. Do you think that DeLauder will, you know, stick with the club beyond these next 48 hours where they have a split squad where he's obviously going to play? And then Wednesday, they have an off day. I would think by Wednesday or early Thursday, we're going to see a whole boatload of cuts. And I would be absolutely stunned if Chase DeLauter isn't the first name on the list of those cuts. And that's not going to sit very well with a bunch of people, and people are going to react, from their guts at having seen the way he's played throughout spring training. But again, like we've said time and time again, success in spring training games doesn't equate to, hey, you're going to make the club every time. So, just what do you think the reaction and the blowback is going to be when Chase DeLauter eventually does get sent out to minor league camp?
I think people will be upset, but if you're a baseball fan and you follow this club and you know how they work, their beliefs and their philosophies, I don't think you can be too upset. I mean, you've got to remember, this guy was their number one pick in 2022. I mean, he's really, he didn't play until June last year because of a broken bone in his foot. Baseball isn't like football. You can't just snap your fingers and go from is it your junior year at UCLA to starting linebacker for the Rams. I mean, it doesn't work that like that. You have to pay your dues a little bit. You have to gain experience. So, and DeLauter has had a great spring, and he's obviously, he's really talented. But if you're a baseball fan and you follow this team and you understand how it operates, I don't think you could be real upset. But there are going to be people upset. Probably DeLauter's parents are going to be upset. I mean, DeLauter will probably be upset. But I think you have to take it with a grain of salt. He made an impression. Everybody knows his name. We've been talking about him every day on this podcast, Joe. So
Yep.
it's not just some passing phase. So I think DeLauter's on a fast track. I don't know if we'll see him this year, but he definitely needs some playing time at double. He's only played like what, six or seven games at double A.
Yeah,
So, he'll probably start at Akron, and I'm sure we'll hear about him, a lot during this season, and there's a chance he could be up. Who knows?
he's played fewer minor league games than both De Los Santos and Manzardo, and so like a lot of times with these guys, with Manzardo and with DeLauter, we hear these sort of coded messages in what they're saying when they talk about sending them out or how they're performing in camp. About how, well, they need to work on defense and that sort of thing, and in definitely in Manzardo's case, it's the same sort of coded messages that we heard with Bo Naylor at this time last year. Was, yeah, it was obvious to everybody he's ready. He's got, he's doing the things that he needs to do to be up with the major league club. But again, it's these coded messages that they don't want to say, hey, we're going to manipulate his service time, or we're going to try and do that. I think in DeLauter's case, though, he actually really does need more at bats in the minor leagues. You talked about the injury history, even going back to James Madison and missing as much time as he did there. You need that repetition and that competition to be able to know when this guy is ready. So it wouldn't stun me if we do see Chase DeLauter in the majors this year, if it's still an if, that we might not see him until September. But who knows? It depends on where the team is, how the team is going, and what he's able to do. I mean, if he just goes to AAA and kicks down the door, then we could see him back up here as well. It all depends on how the outfield situation goes, and if they need some thump, and we know that they do at some point in the outfield. Hey, I want to let our listeners know, as soon as we hear anything about any more cuts, any more moves, any more roster changes, because this is the sort of the week for it to happen here. We send it out first on subtext. Guardian subtext is the best way to get updates and messages from Hoynes and from me throughout the season, but particularly in spring training. It's $3.99 a month to subscribe, Or you can go to cleveland.com/subtext or send a text message to 216-208-4346, and we'll send you a link to get signed up as soon as possible. Hoynsey, Manzardo, and Andrew Walters named to the all spring breakout second team based on their performance. I mean, come on. This is a one game showcase, and you're picking all star teams from that.
MLB's trying to get the most out of this, Joe.
Yeah, they are using every part of the walrus, I think. Manzardo, second team. Andrew Walters, who came in relief, had a perfect inning of relief with three strikeouts, just by all accounts blowing guys away. He was also named to the second team. So there you go, your spring breakout all-star second team. I wonder how big the trophy for that is.
Somebody will have the trophy. They've got to have a trophy for somebody.
Yeah. All right. We wanted to talk and just mention about the, you know, where we think the spring training position battles are. You know, we talked yesterday about the pitching rotation and the options there in the bullpen as well. Obviously, dealing with a lot more injuries and that sort of stuff. Really, the illness and the ick that's going around the clubhouse in Goodyear is what's sort of hampering the position battles. But we think that, as we mentioned, Davison De Los Santos now in line to be the sort of in the rotation backup at first base along with David Fry, and as well as a DH, winning that spot over John Kenzie Noel, Kyle Manzardo, but not necessarily winning it because you've got the Rule 5 thing attached to you, so it's sort of a victory in quotation marks. But the other position spot that we were talking about is the outfield, where Estevan Florial just sort of stayed under the radar throughout camp, and now he's in a position to make the club.
Yeah, Joe, he's obviously out of options. The Guardians knew that when they made the trade with him for Cody Morris with the Yankees. He showed some power at AAA last year with 28 home runs, but he really didn't do a whole lot, Joe, this spring until the last week or so. He started to swing the bat better, and I wonder, sometimes when the front office or the coaching staff sees a guy really pressing, and it was obvious Florial was pressing. He knew he had a chance to get some at bats or maybe even be the starting center fielder on this club. But he really got off to a slow start. And I wonder if the coaches or the front office may have pulled him aside and said, listen, relax, you're on the team. Mm-hmm. You're going to get a chance, because he certainly seemed to take a deep breath and, started to play better and started to hit better.
Yeah, and that was, pretty evident that he sort of, took a step back and relaxed a little bit. But another guy who maybe got the fire lit under him and maybe has been, as productive as he has been lately in spring games, missed a bunch of time, was Miles Straw. He came back. He had a two-hit game against Colorado on March 14th, had a hit. It was a three-hit game against Colorado on March 14th, including a pair of doubles. He had a hit yesterday against the White Sox, drove in a run. Miles Straw now spring batting average up to .381. And he had been at hitting .500 last week. Is this the kind of Miles? Can we bottle this Miles Straw and open it up when the regular season starts?
Yeah, I certainly hope so, Joe, because you lose sight of the fact that he is such a good center fielder. After watching him at the plate for the last 2 years, it's been frustrating for a lot of people. It's been frustrating for Miles. It's been frustrating for the Guardians. But obviously, he got the message this winter. He went to. He went to some hit swing camps, at least two of them. He gained weight. He said he worked harder than he ever has during an off season. This is perhaps we'll see the Miles Straw we saw, in after the trade in 2021 when he came over here and hit close to 280 and just looked like the steal of the century.
Yeah, his 982 OPS in spring training, also, not too shabby. Would you be surprised if in September of this year, if I had told you that Miles Straw would go this deep into training camp and still not have struck out? He's got what? How many at bats? He's got 21 at bats, zero strikeouts. So far, spring training. Would you have believed me?
Wow, that's I did not. Yeah, that's a startling. That's an eye-opening stat because, Chris Valleca, the Guardians hitting group, has been after him to be more aggressive, to take more chances early in the count, to not to be afraid to strike out, and he still hasn't struck out, and he's still, he's hitting the ball harder. He's made some what? He's got. Let's see, what has he got here? I lost
He's
his line. Yeah, what, three doubles?
got three doubles, yeah. And I believe he hit a home run, but it was in a game that didn't count, or
Yeah,
I
I think
thought he hit one
so.
out. Yeah.
So it shows you that he's being maybe he's being more aggressive, but he still has that contact skill. I don't think that ever goes away from you're I think when you come up and you're that kind of player, like you're a Kwan or you're a Straw, you got speed, you got to get on base. That's an instinct. That doesn't it's hard to tell yourself you're going to swing for the fences when you're a player like that.
Yeah, you just can't have nine of them on the field at the same time, or in the nine of them in the batting order at the same time. That's the only problem. So
Exactly.
that's what we've been dealing with for 3 years, though. So who knows? All right, Hoynesy, that's going to wrap up today's edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. We will check in with you after split squad action today, off day on Wednesday, and we'll catch up with you then.
Good deal, Joe.